بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، ونسأله بأسمائه وصفاته أن يجعلنا جميعا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه، وأن يصلحنا ويصلح بلادنا وبلاد المسلمين، وأن يهدينا سواء السبيل، وأن ينصر الحق وأهله ويذل الباطل وأهله منه جل وعلا وكرمه. ونبدأ درسنا.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. قال الإمام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى: باب قول الله تعالى: حتى إذا فزع عن قلوبهم قالوا ماذا قال ربكم قالوا الحق وهو العلي الكبير. في الصحيح عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: إذا قضى الله الأمر في السماء ضربت الملائكة بأجنحتها فضعانا لقوله، كأنه سلسلة على صفوان ينفذ من ذلك، حتى إذا فزع عن قلوبهم قالوا ماذا قال ربكم قالوا الحق وهو العلي الكبير. فيسمعها مستريق السمع، ومستريق السمع هكذا بعضهم فوق بعض، وصفه سفيان بكفه فحرفها وبدل بين أصابعه. فيسمع الكلمة فيلقيها إلى من تحته، ثم يلقيها الآخر إلى من تحته، حتى يلقيها على لسان الساحر أو الكاهن، وربما أدركه الشهاب قبل أن يلقيها، وربما ألقاها قبل أن يدركها، فيكذب معها مئة كذبة، فيقال: أليس قد قال لنا يوم كذا وكذا كذا وكذا؟ فيصدق بتلك الكلمة التي سمعت من السماء. وعن النواس بن سمعان رضي الله عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إذا أراد الله تعالى أن يوحي بالأمر تكلم بالوحي، أخذت السماوات منه رجفة أو قال رعدة شديدة خوفا من الله عز وجل، فإذا سمع ذلك أهل السماوات صعقوا وخروا لله سجدا، فيكون أول من يرفع رأسه جبريل فليكلمه الله من وحيه بما أراد، ثم يمر جبريل على الملائكة، كلما مر بسماء سأله ملائكتها: ماذا قال ربنا يا جبريل؟ فيقول جبريل: قال الحق وهو العلي الكبير. فيقولون كلهم مثل ما قال جبريل، فينتهي جبريل بالوحي إلى حيث أمره الله عز وجل.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه، وبعد. هذا الباب 15 من أبواب كتاب التوحيد لشيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب التميمي، إمام الدعوة السلفية التي ظهرت في نجد في القرن 12 الهجري. صدر هذا الباب بقول الله تعالى: حتى إذا فزع عن قلوبهم قالوا ماذا قال ربكم قالوا الحق وهو العلي الكبير. إذا تكلم الله جل وعلا بالوحي أخذت السماء رجة، والصوت يهز أكناف السماء، فيصعق الملائكة يخرون سجدا من هول كلام الله جل وعلا. فإذا فزع عن قلوبهم، إذا زال ما أحصر لهم سألوا: ماذا قال ربنا يا جبريل؟ جبريل إذا أوحى الله بالوحي كما سيأتي في حديث النواس يسأله الملائكة، فإن جبريل عليه السلام هو سفير الوحي من الله جل وعلا، وسفير الأمر الذي يصدره الله جل وعلا بما شاء كيف شاء. يقول: ضربت الملائكة بأجنحتها فضعانا لقوله تعالى، يعني يذكر أن الصوت كأنما سلسلة عظيمة أصابت صفوان، يعني صفا ما وقع عليه من الحديد صار له صوت مزعج. ففي هذه الحالة يخر الملائكة سجدا لله خاضعين في حال فزع وهول. فإذا سري عن قلوبهم سألوا ماذا قال ربنا، فلا يزيد جبريل عليه السلام من أن يقول قال الحق وهو العلي الكبير. فإذا قالها جبريل رددها الملائكة كلهم كلما مر بسماء، كما سيأتي في حديث النواس سأله أهل السماء ماذا قال ربنا جل وعلا، فيقولون كذا. فإذا خرج الوحي من السماء الكهنة الذين يتخطفون ما تتحادث به الملائكة بين السماء والأرض، الشياطين ما يستطيعون أن يدخلوا السماء، وإنما يستمعون لما يتحدث به الملائكة مما سمعوا من أمر الله، يخطفون كلمة وتخطفهم الشهب المرمية في حالات، لكن إذا خطفوا كلمة بلغوها للمتعاون معهم من الكهنة. إذا سمع الكلمة مستلق السمع من الشياطين بلغها إلى وليه من بني آدم، فيكذب هذا الولي مع الكلمة التي تبلغه 100 كذبة. ولأن هذه الواحدة التي تلقفها الكاهن من المتعاون معه من الشياطين تكون شاهدا له على أنه ما يقول إلا حق، فإذا كذب الناس بما يقوله الكاهن رد المدافعون عنه ألم يقل اليوم كذا كلمة كذا وكذا، يعني تلك الكلمة الصادقة التي تلقفها، فيظن الناس بسبب إصابة كلمة من 100. سفيان بن عيينة أحد كبار علماء السلف وهو من أساتذة الإمام أحمد بن حنبل ومحمد بن إدريس الشافعي رحمة الله عليهم، وصف كيفية قيام الشياطين لتلقي ما يستمعون به إلى الملائكة من الملائكة، وصفهم بيده وأشار إليها في كفه واحد كف فوق آخر إلى أن يبلغ السماء. تارة يصيبه الشهاب الذي يرمى به من السماء، وتارة يمكنهم أن يبلغوا ما تلقوه قبل أن يصيبهم الشهاب. هذه الشعوب لما أراد الله جل وعلا بعثة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم حرست السماء وصاروا لا يستطيعون يتلقفوا شيئا، فما وجدوا ما ينقلون، كما قص الله جل وعلا عن فعلهم هذا في سورة الجن، يقول أن السماء لما حرست قالوا وأنا لا ندري أشر أريد من في الأرض أم أراد بهم ربهم رشدا. يقول هنا في حديث النواس إذا أراد الله أن يوحي بالأمر تكلم بالوحي، فأخذت السماوات منه رجفة أو قال رعدة شديدة خوفا من الله، فإذا سمع ذلك أهل السماء صعقوا إلى آخر الحديث. فصار كلما مر جبريل في سماء من السماوات يسأله أهل السماء ماذا قال ربنا؟ وجبريل عليه السلام هو السفير بين الله جل وعلا من السماء إلى الأرض. ولهذا لما جاء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مع زوجته خديجة رضي الله عنها إلى ورقة بن نوفل وذكر ما قص قال جبريل قال ورقة هذا الناموس الذي كان ينزل على موسى يعني هذا أمين السر بكلمة الناموس أي أمين السر في هذا بيان أن الشياطين يسترقون السمع ولذلك لما انتشروا وكما في أحاديث مرت ليس علينا هنا أن الشيطان أرسل جنوده لينظروا ما الخبر عندما حرست السماء فوجدوا النبي يصلي في نخلة يعني في وادي نخلة التي الواقع شمال شرق عن مكة وإذا صرفنا إليك نفرا من الجن يستمعون القرآن فلما حضروه قالوا أنصتوا إلى آخره فعلموا أن السبب في حراسة السماء حتى لا يستطيع الشياطين ومرضتهم وأصحابهم من الكهنة أن يتلقفوا شيئا من خبر السماء فكأن هذا حراسة جعلها الله جل وعلا في بعثة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى لا تتلقف الشياطين ما تتحدث به الملائكة مما يسمعون من أمر الله وما يخبر به فصينة رسالة في مبدأها ففي بيان الملائكة رغم ما منحهم الله جل وعلا من القرب والعبادة لا يأمنون يخافون الله لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون هذا خلاصة ما يتعلق بهذا الباب وأن الله جل وعلا يتكلم بالكلام صار له صوت مزعج لمن لم يجعله الله مهيئا لتلقيه لأن الله قال لموسى وكلم الله موسى تكليما أنا أكمل المسائل أكمل شغل الشيخ الإسلام رحمة الله عليه ذكر مسائل تتعلق بهذا الباب هو كتاب التوحيد هو في الحقيقة في جميع أبوابه إنما يعالج أمر التوحيد أمر تحقيق العبادة لله وأمر الخضوع لله جل وعلا فذكر المؤلف هذه المسائل الأولى تفسير الآية يقصد بالآية باب قول الله تعالى حتى إذا فزع عن قلوبهم يعني أنهم كانوا في حال عندما غشيهم ما غشيهم لما يكونوا متهيئين أو متأهلين للكلام لأن يسألوا عن شيء فإذا فزع عن قلوبهم ذلك كشف عن قلوبهم ما أصابها يسألون عن الذي حدثناه.
فيقول الشيخ رحمة الله عليه تفسير الآية حتى إذا فزع عن قلوبهم. المسألة الثانية فيها يقول من الحجة على إبطال الشرك خصوصا ما تعلق بالصالحين، وهي الآية التي تقطع، قيل تقطع عروق شجرة الشرك من القلب. فإن الله جل وعلا إذا أصاب الملائكة ما أصابهم وتناقلوا في ما ملائكة اللي بين السماء والأرض ما بين هبوط وصعود، يبين أن الصالحين لا يشرك بالله، يشرك بهم أحد مع الله جل وعلا. وهي الآية التي قال فيها إنها تقطع قلوب، تقطع عروق الشرك من القلب. إذا كان الملائكة ومكانتهم وقربهم من الله جل وعلا يصيبهم ما أصابهم، فما البال بمن لا يمكن أن يداني الملائكة لا بمعرفة ولا بهيبة وقوة. الله لما قص ما قص علينا مما أصاب بإرادته جل وعلا تقلب الجبال
بقوة من منحه الله القوة العظيمة. قال الثانية، الثالثة تفسير قوله تعالى قالوا الحق وهو العلي الكبير، يعني الملائكة ما راحوا يفصلون ما قاله ربهم جل وعلا، والسائر وجبريل أيضا لم يزد على أن يقول قال الحق وهو العلي الكبير، هم فقط أرادوا أن ينظر هل هذا أمر فيه عذاب، فيه تدمير، فيه شيء. قال الرابعة سبب سؤالهم عن ذلك، سبب سؤالهم عن ذلك لأنهم لم يعلموا شيئا، لما سمعوا الصوت الذي أصعقهم ثم لما فزع عن قلوبهم حبوا أن يعرفوا ما الأمر الذي حدث لهم بسبب ما حدث. فالجواب أن مقولة الله، أن مقولة الله جل وعلا إنما هي الحق وهو العلي الكبير. وقلنا الخامس أن جبريل يجيبهم بقوله قال كذا وكذا، يعني لا يأتي بهم بأكثر مما يخبرهم أن الله جل وعلا إنما قال الحق. قال السادس ذكر أن أول من يرفع رأسه جبريل، يعني عندما يصعق الملائكة معناه يصعقون بما فيهم جبريل، ثم يكون جبريل أول من يرفع رأسه من الصاعقة لأنه سفير الله جل وعلا والمبلغ عن الله جل وعلا ما يأمره الله جل وعلا به بالتبليغ، فيكون هو أول من يرفع رأسه فيتلقى ما يتلقى ثم يتجه إلى حيث وجهه الله جل وعلا. فكل ما ملائكة السماء يسألون جبريل ماذا قال ربنا إلى آخره. والسادسة السابعة أنهم يقولون لأهل السماوات كلهم، يعني قال الحق وهو العلي الكبير لأنهم يسألون. الثامنة أن الغاشية يعم أهل السماوات كلهم، يعني إذا تكلم الله بالصوت هذا أصاب الغاشي جميع ملائكة السماوات، ولذلك كلما مر جبريل بسماء بمسيره سأله أهل ذلك السماء ماذا قال ربنا. يقول التاسعة ارتجاف السماوات لكلام الله، لما أن موسى قال ربي أرني أنظر إليك قال الله له إنك لن تراني ولكن انظر إلى الجبل فإن استقر مكانه فسوف تراني. لما تجلى الله ما وصل الجبل ولا أعلى حصل الارتجاج العظيم في الجبل وخر موسى صاعقا. لما استيقظ موسى من صاعقته أعلن توبة لله. فالنبي الله قال له ألم يعني يفضلك ما برسالتي وبكلامي. يقول هنا العاشرة أن جبريل هو الذي ينتهي بالوحي إلى حيث أمره الله. في الحديث الذي رواه مسلم وغيره كان جبريل عند النبي جالس فسمع نقيضا يعني انفتاح شيء في السماء فرفع جبريل رأسه فقال هذا باب فتح من السماء لم يفتح قبل اليوم. فنزل ملك فقال جبريل هذا الملك لم ينزل قبل اليوم للأرض. والقصة فيها طول لكن هذا يعني حديث صحيح. فجبريل عليه السلام هو المبلغ وهو الواسطة في حمل الرسالة. الله قال علمه شديد القوى. قال هنا الحادي عشر ذكر استراق الشياطين يعني ذكر استراق الشياطين للسماء. ينتشر الشياطين في أجواء هذه الأرض. قل لأنهم الله أعلم ليسوا مثلنا محتاجين إلى ما نحتاج إليه من الهواء لذلك يصعدون إلى قرب السماء إلى السماء الدنيا فيتلقفون. وأعوانهم من الكهنة أيضا يحرصون على أن يكون كلامهم كلاما مسجوعا. وذلك لما قال رجل للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في قصة الهذلية التي ضربت الأخرى فقتلتها وما في بطنها فقال صاحب القصة أعقل من ما نطق ولا أكل ولا استهل فمثل ذلك يطل. فقال النبي أسجع كسجع الكهان يعني الكهان يحرص أن يكون جاءت بكلامه مرتبا كأنه أجزاء أبيات شعر. يقول الثانية عشرة صفة ركوب بعضهم بعضا هل التي وصفها سفيان رضي الله عنه يضع كفا فوق كف إلى يعني إلى ما لا نهاية وهم لا شك كثرة. قال الثالثة عشرة إرسال الشهاب. الشهاب هو الذي نراه في بعض الأحوال نراه حصل انقداح شهب في السماء في أيام الصحو يرى الواحد خيط نار من جهة إلى جهة هذه هي الشهب التي ترسل المصابيح وجعلناها رجوما للشياطين. والرابع عشر أنه تارة يدركه الشهاب قبل أن يلقيها وتارة يلقيها في أذن وليه من الإنس قبل أن يدركه. لا شك أن هذا كله بإرادة الله. لو شاء ما قدروا على أن يحصلوا على شيء جل وعلا لكنه سبحانه وتعالى يرسل هذه الشهب لخطف هذا الشيطان. إن أصابه الشهاب قبل أن يصل إلى الكاهن لم يصل الخبر إلى الكاهن وإن أخطأه الشهاب وقد تلقى الكلمة أبلغها إلى الكاهن. يقول الخامسة عشر كون الكاهن يصدق بعض الأحيان. نعم، الكاهن لما يأتيه الخبر الذي نقله الشيطان شياطين الجن وبلغه فيه وبلغ الناس به، يعني إذا جاء أحد يسأل سيكون كذا كذا، يمكن يقول مرات ويخطأ، لكن عندما ما يدافع عنه قال لا يصدق، قال لا لم يقل يوم كذا كلمة كذا وكذا فحصل كذا وكذا، يعني هو صادق. يقول 16 كونه يكذب معها 100 كذبة، إذا جاء هذا الخبر لأنه محتاج إلى أن تكون عنده بضاعة يروجها على ضعاف العقول، فإذا جاءت كلمة صايحة أضاف إليها 100 ثم تدخل بين هذه الأشياء، فبهذه الكلمة يحملونها على الصدق. يقول 17 أنه لم يصدق كذبه إلا بتلك الكلمة التي سمعها من السماء، سمعت من السماء، يعني لو لم يبلغه شيء ما صدق بشيء، لأنه ما يخبر خبرا يصير له وجودا في بين الناس. وكل ذلك لابتلاء العباد، هل يصدقون مثل هذا؟ حتى لو صدق بهذه الكلمة هو لم يوجدها هو، وإنما كان من بلاغ بها لما يقع، إنما الذي أوقعه الفعال لما يريد. يقول 18 قبول النفوس للباطل، كيف يتعلقون بواحدة ولا يعتبرون بمئة؟ إلا أنهم لم يستعملوا عقولهم. الله جل وعلا مع على العباد، ألهم قلوب لا يعقلون بها؟ أم لهم آذان لا يسمعون بها؟ يعني منحهم الله جل وعلا ما يميزون به من المبصرات والمسموعات وما يفكر به، لكن إذا غلب الهوى عميت البصائر. يقول هنا 20 إثبات الصفات خلافا للأشعرية، يقصد صفة الكلام، لأنه في هذا الباب حتى إذا فزع عن قلوبهم قالوا ماذا قال ربكم قالوا الحق وهو العلي الكبير، يعني قال المقول لا بد أن يكون قال شيئا كلاما، وإن دل غير في غير هذا المكان. ولا حديث ما منكم من أحد إلا سيكلمه ربه يوم القيامة ليس بينه وبينه ترجمان، والحديث الصحيح. يقول خلاف الأشعرية، طبعا يأتي بعد الأشعرية الجهمية وحالهم أسوأ بكثير، والأشعرية هي اللي منتشرة في العالم الإسلامي، كذلك مثلها الماتريدية التي هي عند الأحناف أكثر من غيرها، يعني يقولون أن الله لم يتكلم، وإنما هذا من أجل كذا، ويقول المعتزلة أن الله خلق الكلام خلقا. يقول 21 التصريح أن تلك الرجفة والغشية خوفا من الله عز وجل، يعني أن تلك الرجفة إنما حصل خوفا من الله لأجل الخوف من الله جل وعلا. 22 أنهم يخرون لله سجدا، يعني يعلنون عبوديتهم له وأنهم خاضعون
لأوامره جل وعلا. هذه مجمل هذه المسائل في هذا الباب. فرحمة الله على شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب، ورحمة الله على كل من اتبعوا طريقه في إخلاص العبادة لله والدعوة إلى ذلك، ونسأل الله أن نكون جميعا في هذا المكان منهم.
Shaykh Hafizullah Ta'ala started by praising Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, seeking His help and His forgiveness, and by asking Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to make us of those who hear the best of speech and follow it. And by, he also started by supplicating that Allah give victory to the Muslims in the various parts of the Muslim world, and take away the trials and tribulations that are befalling the Muslims these days. He then praised Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and sent peace and blessings upon His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and said that the book that we are now studying is chapter 15 of Kitab al-Tawheed by the author Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab al-Tamimi rahimahullah ta'ala, and he is the Imam of the Salafi Da'wah in Najd, this central part of Saudi Arabia, which is called Najd. And this took place in the 12th century after the Hijrah. The chapter is entitled, the verse from the Quran, which is Allah's statement, which might be translated as, until the fear was removed from their hearts, and they said, "What has your Lord said?" They said, "He has said the truth, and He is the Most High and the greatest." When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks, as Shaykh Hafizullah ta'ala commented, saying, when He speaks, the heavens shake, the heavens shake and tremble out of fear and out of awe of His speech. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks, the angels, they faint out of fear and they fall down prostrating towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of how great His speech is. And after that, when they wake up, they ask Jibreel, who was the best of the angels and who was the ambassador of the revelation. He is Allah's ambassador between the heaven and the earth, who carries the revelation to the earth. They ask him what happened. And he informs them that Allah has spoken the truth. And he speaks with whatever he wishes, in the manner that he wishes, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his speech, it's as if, because it has a sound which is scary, loud sound, his speech has a loud and frightening sound. It's as if it's a chain dragging over a smooth rock, as was described in the hadith. And because of this sound, when he speaks, the angels, they faint. And when they wake up, then that fear that caused them to faint, that fear is removed from their hearts. And then they ask, you know, what happened? Why, you know, why did this great event take place? And because Jibreel, he's the first one to wake up, to come to, and wake up after this fainting, they ask him, and he tells them simply, what has our Lord said? They said, Jibreel responds, "He has said the truth. He said the truth." When revelation leaves the sky, there are some magicians and fortune tellers from amongst the devils that they try to listen to this information, to get a hold of what is Allah saying. This information is coming from the heavens. They want to steal some of this information. So they come close to the heavens and they listen to what the angels are saying, because the angels just got done talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's speech. These devils, they come close to the heavens and they listen to the speech of the angels to see what it is that Allah is saying. And these devils, in turn, they go to humankind, and they have some magicians and fortune tellers from amongst humankind who cooperate with the devils. And the devils go to these human beings and they tell them what the angels have said. And so these helpers of the devils from amongst the sons of Adam, the magicians and the soothsayers and the fortune tellers and the likes, once they get this one piece of information about what the angels have said, which is the truth, they add to it 100 lies. So they get one piece of information which is true, and then they tell 100 lies in addition to this truth. And then, once people come and say, look, this magician, he's told a lot of lies. There are some human beings that would defend the magician and stick up for him and said, okay, he told some lies, but look, that one day he told us something that was true. And so in the hadith which is mentioned, which is an authentic hadith related on the account of the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet ﷺ said that if Allah has decreed an order or decreed an affair in the heavens, that the angels, they strike with their wings out of submission to his statement. And it's as if it is a chain being dragged over a smooth rock. And that speech penetrates them. It's as if that speech is so powerful it penetrates their hearts. And then, as the verse from the Quran informs us, that fear is removed from their hearts and they say, what has your Lord said? They say, he has said the truth and he is the Most High, the Greatest. So then, those who try to steal the people who are trying to steal some information, those devils who are listening to the angels, eavesdroppers they might call them, they're stacked on top of one of each other. It's as if there's so many of them in the heavens that they're stacked on top of each other. There are a lot of them listening to this information. And one of the narrators of the hadith, he explained, he kind of showed, gesturing with his hands, how they were stacked on top of one of another. So when one of them hears this word, this piece of information, he relays it to the one who is below him. And then this devil then in turn relays it to the one who is below him, and so on and so forth, until the last guy relays it to the human being, the magician who was on the earth, who was a human being, and he's a magician or a soothsayer. So he gives him this one piece of information. And it might be that before this devil reaches the human being to give him this piece of information, a shooting star will strike him, so the information won't reach this human being. So sometimes, before the devil actually gets to the human being to give him the information, a shooting star comes and blasts him, and so he can't give him the information. And other times, the devil actually will reach before the shooting star hits him, so the information does come down to the earth. So, in these cases, when the information actually does reach a human being, one of the magicians or soothsayers, he gets this one piece of true information, and then he adds to it 100 lies. And then, as was mentioned, the people will defend him saying that, okay, he told us some lies, but that one day he told us something true. So that that one piece of information that was heard from the heavens, it will be believed in. The narrator of the hadith who was mentioned, who made the gesturing with his hands to demonstrate how the devils were kind of stacked one on top of another in the sky listening for this information, his name is Sufyan ibn Uyayna, and he was one of the great scholars from amongst the Salaf, and he was one of the teachers of Imam Ahmed as well as Imam Shafi'i. And he explained to us how this happens, the narration about the shooting stars, how sometimes they blast the devil before he can get to the human being to tell him, and at other times it actually will reach the earth. And the jinn, they listen for the information that is passed along amongst the angels in the sky. And therefore, a verse from the Quran says that they don't know, the jinn were saying to one another, we don't know if it was evil that was meant for those of us who are on the earth, or if it was guidance that was meant for us. So once this information is, or once the speech that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks with in the heavens, once he speaks in the heavens, there's a trembling. There's a strong trembling as if it's thunder in the sky. The sky is trembling out of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's speech. And all of the angels, they faint. They pass out and they faint prostrating to Allah out of fear of his speech. And again, once they wake up, as we have said, they ask Jibreel what happened. He said, "Your Lord has spoke the truth." And Jibreel alayhi salam, he is known in this nation and the nations to come before, he is known to have been the ambassador between the heavens and the earth, the one who carries the revelation. And it's for this reason that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he received the first revelation, he was scared. He went with his wife Khadija, radiallahu anha. He went with her and told her what happened. She went in turn to a relative of hers named Waraqat ibn Nawfal, who had knowledge of the previous revelations and books. And once he heard about this, he said, "This guy who came to you, the one who came and brought this revelation to you, this is the same Namus that used to come and reveal the information to Musa alayhi salam." So this man, Waraqat ibn Nawfal, who had knowledge of previous revelations, he knew that there was an angel who used to carry the revelation from the heaven to the prophets on earth. And the devils who go in the sky and try to listen to the information that has been passed along from amongst the revelation and what the angels are saying, there's a lot of them. And when the Prophet والسلام, was sent and he was made a messenger, it's as if the skies were being protected. It's as if there was security protecting the sky so that they couldn't, there was like these shooting stars, you know, blasting the devil so that they couldn't get this information. So that they noticed when the Prophet والسلام, was sent to mankind, they couldn't as easily get the information. And one time when he was praying in a valley near Mecca, they went and they said to one another that we have heard kind of this information, and they said that it's hard for us to get this information because the skies have been protected and guarded. So there was more, when the Prophet ﷺ was sent, the revelation that was coming to him, there was extra security and protection in the sky to prevent the devils from getting this information. So his message, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the message of our Prophet alaihi wasallam, has been protected in the skies, and so there's very, very little that the devils actually steal from the information of the sky and pass it along to the magicians on earth. When we look at the angels' reactions to the revelation, we should be amazed because we've been told of their descriptions, how much ibadah and worship that they do Allah. As Allah informs us, that they do not disobey Allah and they do whatever they are ordered. So they're not like us, the human beings who disobey Allah sometimes and they obey Allah at other times. No, they're always obeying and worshiping Allah. And on top of that, they're very strong. They're not weak like human beings. The angels are extremely strong. Their bodies are really tough. And in spite of this, in spite of how righteous they are, and in spite of how strong they are, once the revelation comes, they're terrified, and they pass out and faint in fear of this speech, how great it is. So this is the gist of what was mentioned by the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, in the chapter. We then proceeded to talk about the 22 points which he mentioned, which were kind of conclusions that can be drawn about the proofs that he brought for this chapter. The first, and the Shaykh hafidhullah ta'ala said that the author of this book, Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn al-Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala, that every chapter of this book, again, is dealing with the subject of Tawheed, sincerely and worshipping Allah and Allah alone and submitting to Him. So this is something that is a constant throughout every single chapter of this book. The first point mentioned by the author is the tafsir of the ayah mentioned, that when the fear is removed from the heart of those angels to the end of the ayah, once the speech and the revelation was heard in the heavens, that the angels, as we mentioned, they all fell down, prostrating to Allah, and fainted. Because they were not ready to hear this. They were not prepared. They were not prepared for this. Okay, it was a big event. Revelation is it's not a small thing, it's a big thing. So for this reason they passed out, and once they came to, they asked about what had happened. The second point mentioned by the author is that within this chapter, or within this ayah, the ayah mentioned from Surah Saba, it contains a proof of the invalidity of shirk. Kind of disproves and says that shirk is a worthless concept. Especially that shirk which is related to the righteous and pious people. And in this ayah, it said that this ayah, it cuts the roots of the tree of shirk out of the hearts. So when the angels are going back and forth throughout the heavens, listening to this information, it's a great affair. And Shaykh Abdullah said that no one would commit any partner with Allah, especially righteous people, after really understanding the information that was presented here. This is because the angels, in spite of how righteous they are, in spite of how strong they are, once they hear the revelation, you know, they fall in prostration to Allah, fainting. So how does this relate to what was mentioned of there being no validity to committing shirk with those righteous people? No human being will ever be as righteous as an angel, or as strong as an angel. In spite of that, the angels have no right to be worshipped whatsoever. As we see, they all fall in submission to Allah. So if the angels, who are better than any human being, have no rights towards worship, how much less is any righteous human being deserving of being worshipped? It's reported that even some of the angels, they were given the power, they desired to crush mountains. No human being can do this. And so no angel, no human being deserves worship. The third point mentioned by the author is the, again, the tafsir of the verse. And the angels said to one another, what has been said? It said that he has said the truth. Allah has spoke the truth, and he is the most high and the greatest. So Shaykh Abdullah said that the angels, they didn't go into detail about what Allah revealed. They didn't want to know the specifics of what was said. So when they responded and saying about the revelation, they said simply, he said the truth. So they didn't go into the minute details of what was said. They simply said what was revealed was the truth. The fourth point mentioned by the author was the reason of them asking that. This is simply because they didn't know. The angels, they didn't have any prior knowledge of the unseen, or of the revelation, or what was going to happen in the future. So they had to ask about this. The fifth point is that Jibreel alayhi salam, he is the one to respond to their question. Once they said, once they asked what happened, he's the one to respond to them. And the sixth point is that he is the first one to come to, the first one to wake up out of all the angels who passed out and fell in prostration to Allah. Jibreel will be the first one to wake up. The seventh point is that all of the inhabitants of the heaven, without any exception, they all ask what has happened and what has been said. Eighthly, that the fainting that happened once they heard this revelation, absolutely every all of the inhabitants of the heaven, they all passed out and fainted without any exception. The ninth point is that once Allah speaks, that the heavens shake and tremble. The heavens shake and tremble out of how great Allah's speech is. And because Allah's speech is so great, because seeing Him is so great, when Musa said to him, he said, "Oh my Lord, let me look at you." Allah responded saying, "You will not see me, but look at this mountain. If it stays in its place, then you will see me." And so the mountain shattered and fell and crumbled to pieces. And because of this, Musa likewise, he fainted and passed out. And once he came to, he woke up, he announced his repentance for having made this request. The tenth point is that Jibreel alayhi salam, he is the one to carry the revelation to its final destination, to where it reaches. And there is an authentic hadith that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was sitting with his companions once, and it's a long story, and the Shaykh Habibullah just mentioned a small portion of it, that once the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was sitting with his companions, and there was a loud sound from the sky, and he said that this was because one of the doors of the heavens was opened, which had not been opened before. And the gist of what is in the story is that Jibreel alayhi salam, he is the one to come from heaven to earth, and he is the one who, he's kind of the mediator for the revelation between heaven and earth, and he's the one to carry the message of revelation, and that he is, as informed in the Quran, he is very strong, shadid al-quwa, he's very strong. The 11th point is that there are some devils, shayateen, that they steal information. They're eavesdroppers. They listen in to steal some information. The Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala commented saying that the devils, they're not like us human beings. They don't need oxygen. They don't need air. So therefore, they go up to the upper portions of the creation, and they come close to the lowest heavens, and they can hear the angels talking from there, and this is how they get this information. And part of the description of the speech of these devils is that it's eloquent. It's eloquent, and perhaps it rhymes as poetry rhymes. And there's a hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam where there's a story of two women. One was known as Al-Hudaliya, this was her tribe. These two women got into a fight, and one of them was pregnant. So one lady struck the other lady who was pregnant in her stomach, and the baby died. She had a miscarriage because of this. And because of that, because this lady killed a baby, her tribe was responsible for paying the blood money for this baby. It's called a diya. So when someone, kills the relatives of this woman, they were responsible for paying the blood money, of this baby that had died. So one of the men from her tribe, he said, "How am I going to pay for someone who never spoke and never ate? And, he's never really alive. How am I going to, pay for that?" The Prophet ﷺ said that this man's speech is very eloquent. And it's very, it's almost poetic. And this is one of the descriptions of the speech of the devils, that it rhymes and it's poetic and it sounds really good. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, the rhyming of this man is like the rhyming of the soothsayers. The 12th point mentioned by the author is how the devils, they are stacked one on top of another in the sky. There are so many of them listening to the angel's speech, as if they're stacked, as mentioned by the story which was related by Sufyan. The 13th point is that shooting stars are sent. And sometimes we, human beings, we see in the sky, if there's a clear night, we can see that there are some shooting stars. It's as if there is a string of fire shooting through the air. We all know shooting stars. Part of why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made these shooting stars is for blasting these devils so that they can't bring the information which they get from the angels down to earth. The 14th point is that sometimes the shooting stars, they blast the devil before he can bring the information down to earth, and other times the devil is able to bring the information down to his companion, down to his friend on the earth, before the shooting star can reach him. And this only happens because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed it to happen. We should not be misled into thinking that that the devils would do anything independently of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will. He has allowed these things to happen. So anything that they have done, the devils, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed this to happen. The 15th point is that the soothsayers, they tell the truth sometimes. Sometimes they tell the truth. Because when they receive a true piece of information from one of the devils who has heard it from the angels in heaven, sometimes they get this piece of true information. And in spite of the fact that they tell one piece of true information, along with 100 lies, there will be some human beings who would defend them and say, no, on such and such day he told us something true. The 16th point is that with this one piece of true information, they would tell 100 lies. Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala commented saying that these soothsayers and magicians, they're in need of kind of packaging their speech. So this is why, along with their 100 lies, they bring this one piece of true information to make those 100 lies kind of sound good. It's like marketing. The 17th point mentioned by the author is that all those lies are not believed except because of that one piece of true information which was heard from the heavens. And the Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala commented saying that he would never have been, this magician or soothsayer would never be believed had it not been for that one piece of true information that reached him from the devils. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only allows this to happen as a trial for his servants to see which one of them would accept this true information and which one of them would not. And he subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does whatever he wishes. The 18th point is that the souls accept falsehood, and it's amazing how they would accept one piece of true information and kind of forget about all of those lies that a soothsayer had told. This is, and Allah responds to this saying, that do they have hearts, what might be translated as, do they have hearts with which they not reflect? And do they have ears with which they hear not? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has given our senses and our faculties so that we could know the truth and we can know His signs, so that we can use our intellect to know His signs. And so He has given us the faculties that we need to know what is the truth. However, when someone's lowly desires when someone gives precedence to their desires over their intellect, this is when people become blind to the truth. The 19th point is that that they receive this information one from another, they memorize it and they use it as a proof. The 20th is affirming the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has the most lofty attributes. And this is in differentiation to the deviated Muslim sects such as the Ash'ariya and the Mu'attila, who they negate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes. One of these attributes is speech. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks. This is one of his attributes, speech. And we know this from various sources. From amongst those, the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that there is no one of you except that his Lord will speak to him, and there will be no interpreter between him and his Lord. So speech is indeed one of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some of the misguided Muslim groups, they deny this and other attributes. So one of the groups mentioned here in the text was the Ash'ariya, and Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala said there's another group called the Jahmiya. They're even worse than them when it comes to denying the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said that this group mentioned, the Ash'ariya, they're widespread in the Muslim world. Nowadays, there's a lot of people who ascribe to this ideology, the Ash'ari ideology. And he said that perhaps they're the most widespread when it comes to the ideology throughout the Muslim world. And there's another group called the Maturidiyya, also another misled Muslim group. And there are many from amongst these who are, they follow the Hanafi school of jurisprudence. The 21st point is that Allah stated clearly, or as mentioned in the chapter, it is stated clearly that the heavens shook and trembled, because of what happened, because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's speech. And this is because the inhabitants of the heavens were fearful, fearful of Allah and His speech. In the final, 22nd and final point, is that the inhabitants of the heaven, they fall down prostrating to Allah out of fear of His speech once He speaks. And they are openly announcing their servitude toward Him, and they are submitting to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh hafizahullah ta'ala concluded by saying, by invoking mercy upon the author of this book, and by asking us to be of those who implement what was mentioned in this chapter. Any questions?
أول شيء بارك الله في الجميع فينا وفيكم جميعا وأصلح حالنا جميعا وذرياتنا وغفر لنا ولأمواتنا وأحيائنا ونسأله جل وعلا أن يعاجل أهل سوريا بالفرج وينقذهم من هذا الحكم النصيري الخبيث وحزن البعث الاشتراكي السيء. ونسأل الله أن تكون حالهم بعد انكشاف غمتهم حالا خيرا مما كانوا عليه الآن ومما سبق ذلك. ونسأل الله أن يعاجل العقوبة على هذا الطاغية الخبيث وحزبه وأن يكفينا شر أنفسنا وشر أعدائنا إنه مجيب الدعاء. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.